G'day everyone, and welcome to this episode. And today's guest is Amber Spirit. Amber, how are you going?
Hey, how are you everyone?
Good. Cheers for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
No worries. It's been good to catch up. We originally met, it was March or May earlier this year when I did the Skywatch with you guys and Lauren Kurth, who I've also had on the show, and Kay. When I was in Mulaney, which was beautiful to go and see. I think Damien Knott's actually in that area at the moment filming for his documentary.
Yeah.
Which is just, it was amazing the amount of people I met up there that were experiencers. It's like if you weren't an experiencer, you were the odd one out in that whole.
Pretty much, yeah.
So that was really great. And we hit it off, and the others that I met up there, some others I'm trying to get on the show now, which will be fantastic. One of the best Skywatches I've ever done that night, just the people, the energy and what was going on. But you yourself, you're a psychic.
Yeah.
You actually have another group called CETE, is it called? GC? Yep.
City GC, yep.
Which yous do basically the same as in terms of Skywatching, contact work, CE5. And you're quite well known up there. Would you mind giving the viewers and the listeners an overview of just who you are and how things got going for you?
Yeah, okay, so I'm known as Amber Spirit. Clairvoyant psychic, intuitive, love working with, just hanging out with people and just love connecting with everyone and Mother Earth. Definitely do a lot of, you know, night watches, sky watches, gathering circles. As much as it's about connecting with above, I definitely bring it right down home and connect with Mother Earth and then connect with each other. And, oh, you know what? I'm into anything, Pete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the way to be, but really connecting with Mother Earth, and you do say that, it needs to be brought home in that context, because a lot of people, like, let's face it, a lot of people want to be airy-fairy, which is cool, but you've got to be grounded. So a lot of people want to be connected with the other side, but they've got to realise we've been here, bought here to do work here.
Yeah.
And when you're here to be grounded, you've got to connect with Mother Earth. We're here to help with the energies there as well with above. So it's trying to have that balance. But you know yourself, being clairvoyant, psychic, and doing being an experiencer, everything is connected. So that's just how it is. How did your experiences start, and how did you know that you were, you know, having psychic things happen? How did it all come into fruition for you?
All right, well, people, you know, ask me about this. They're like, okay, so on the clairvoyancy side, you have this through spirit, and then on this side you have, you know, celestial beings and visitations and that. And I'm like, I've got that and I've got that. And my first experience was when I was at the age of 6. I'm originally from New Zealand, Blenheim, South Island. And, so I was at the age of 6. And so my first visitations consciously was not of spirit, you know, like a grandmother or someone coming through. It was of beings coming through. And do you want me to tell you about that experience?
Go into it.
Yeah, so my conscious memory and was at the age of 6, and I'm lying in my bed, and my mother now tells me that leading up to that, the bed used to rattle and rumble and shake, and things would fly around the room. And, you know, we're not, you know, my mum was a single mum. She had no support. She didn't know what to do or where to go. So grab the Holy Bible, chuck it on the bed, and she's like, everything will be okay, everything will be fine. But as much as I love all that, it didn't stop.
Yeah.
So I remember this one particular night lying in bed, and again that light coming through the window. And I've been back and I've researched it, and there's absolutely no flight path. There's no flight path. It's not there. And lying in bed and seeing that light coming. And the thing about the light is it's not just like a flashlight, you know, going in your window. The light has substance to it. The light has embodiment to it. And the light is like very biological. It's like it feels you and it talks to you. So the light's coming and I'm not afraid. I'm like, oh, it's like an old friend returning. And it's like that beautiful white, bluishy hue of a colour. And it's coming in and it just takes over the whole room. And then, of course, your human brain, you know, jumps back in and you're like, oh, I want to get out of bed. Oh, you know, and you can't move. Mm-hmm. I can't move. I can't get out. I can't. But, again, the light helps you to take away that fear of, my body wants to get up. And then I just remember I'm leaving and I'm moving up towards the window and then I'm out. But then I remember being on the craft.
And what happened on there? And what did you see?
That was a trip and a half. I'm sitting in a circle and I'll tell you a little bit about the room. The room, it's circular, but it's not cold, but it's like silvery metallic sort of,
is it like a matte colour, like a matte metal?
It's a darker, not a bright, shiny silver, it's the darker of it, but it's not cold at all. And, look, I'm getting all hot, my nose is running.
Oh, it's hot up there.
It's hot up here. And of course, I'm quite a nosy kid. I've been quite nosy, you know. I still am, and you know, always wanting to know what's going on, the truth, and seeking it out. So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, okay, so this isn't my bedroom. This isn't my bedroom, and it's circular. I know we're on a circular craft, and I'm sitting there and there's all these kids, same age as me, kids everywhere. And I'm like looking around like, okay, so I'm in a classroom or something. And I know in my head that the room I'm in is the centre of the craft. Mm-hmm. Because I can see the hallway goes down that way and it comes around. And so I'm like, oh, I want to go down there. And as I'm looking over there, oh, I want to go down there, a little being comes along. And he's a little grey being. And he's really little, and they're all milling around, handing things out. And I'm like, oh, yeah. So I look over, and I've got, like, another partner, and he's a little Asian boy. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is a trip. Cool. And, you know, because I'm, like, six. I come from a tiny rural country town.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd ever seen an Asian kid in my life. I'm like, oh, this is pretty cool. All right. That's look it, around, yeah. And, yeah, or, you know, cause, so to me, to we're like little beings to each other.
Yeah. Because,
you know, you're a different culture, you're a different race, a different colour, and there's all different kids. I'm like, oh, this is cool. And then I'm like, oh, now I want to know what's going on. Oh, what's going on? Why am I here? Telepathically. They just put, growing up, we just had wooden blocks, you know, like wooden toys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was none of this electronic stuff then. And they gave us all these wooden toys to play with, and we had to put them all together like a Tetris.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, sweet, I've got this. Done. What's next? Keep giving us all this stuff. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. I want to know what you guys are doing. I don't know, what am I here for? What's happening? And telepathically, he's gone and said to me, we're here to observe how all you different, you know, cultures and different, you know, coloured kids and all this all get along. I'm like, yeah, he's sweet ass. Don't worry about it. What are you doing? And they're like, the light bulb went on. And it was almost like they've gone, yeah, she's all right. She's all right. Sweet ass. She's all right. So progressively, they got harder, and I'm like, I don't want to do this. I've been there, done that. It was like, you know how you have that knowing of it?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'm over it. I want to do something else. I want to get down that hallway. So I'm looking around, and then I see the window, but the window is not glass, and it's not plastic. To me, again, it was a biological substance. It was very, you can see my hand. It was like, not gel, but it was like water ripples. And if you touch it...
Like liquid light?
Like a liquid, yeah.
Yeah.
But they had the tall whites behind it, that they just glowed the most amazing illuminated white light. Like, I was like, I want to go over where they are.
So were they, like, physical with that light coming from them, or is it, was it that's what they were?
That's what they were.
Yeah. See, the beings, yeah, some I've seen very similar. The Elohim that I've been tracked with are like that, but a liquid light blue.
Okay, yep.
Yeah, so very similar, and then I've seen similar to what you're talking about. Just back for a sec, for a second to the greys you were talking about.
Yeah.
What colour were they? Were they white or were they grey or?
The littler ones were a darker, denser.
Yep.
And very typical of what, you know, the media portrays.
Portrays, all right, yeah.
But if you can see my hands, the little guys, and then they got progressively taller,
mm-hmm,
lighter, till they got to the guys that were the same colour behind the sort of liquid window.
All right.
Yeah.
All good.
So,
yep.
Yeah.
That's fine. Continue on. Sorry about that. I just thought I'd ask.
That's cool. And so the guys that are behind this window, there was three main ones and one that was sort of standing back a little bit, but they were like, I don't know, like they were either overseers. They were observing what was going on and taking notes and that, but not like this. It was on this window, this liquid window thing. I'm like, oh, that's really cool. I want to get in there. And so every time I'm trying to get over, they keep coming over, and the little dude's like, no, you've got to stay here. Stop trying to muck us up. So it progressively got longer and it got harder. Eventually, I think they just got fed up with me because I'm like a magpie. Lights. I want to do what they're doing. And then the little one brought in this what I would call now is like an iPad,
mm-hmm,
and it floats. So it's like a holographic sort of iPad, and it was just floating in front of me. And he's like, well, if you're cool, do that. You know, in our sort of words.
Yeah, yeah.
So I know that I had to start on the right-hand side, so the opposite to where we usually write, and go across. So I'm doing all this wording and all these little games and things, and I have to bring it across, you know, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. But so now I kind of buzz out when I see like little iPads, because the kids are all holding it, doing all this stuff on it. And I'm like, oh, it's like a Star Trek episode, you know, talking on the phones, and now they're all happening. And I'm like, that's cool. Yeah, so that was an awesome experience because I regard the Greys as my family.
Yep.
I do. I know, you know, they're all out there and they're all saying, oh, the media, they're all doing this and they're all, but I don't get that. Yep. They don't hurt me. I don't feel that. And I definitely see them as more as a family experience and a family connection. And yeah, I love them. They've presented their babies to me.
Yep.
I've got four elders that hang around, but they don't get too involved.
Yep.
They know there's like I know there's a mission, and they just have to let that play out.
So we'll just bring up a couple of things now. You brought up the children. Would you mind going into that?
Yeah. That's a heavy one, that one.
It is, I know, because I've spoken about it myself. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I have a contract with them, and I have had multiple egg extractions over my lifetime. I feel very comfortable with it, and I feel very, very honoured to have that happen. I just have to look at my husband's dirty bath water and I'm pregnant. I am. I'm like, you know what? So I'm very, very fertile already. And obviously I have to put sort of restrictions on things and you know, medical things where I, you know, we don't want 1,000 children. Two's enough for me and this world. Yeah.
I know. Well, I've got three step children, so God help us if we've got any more.
The other one. I'm waiting for that other one.
Yeah, many people are.
Um, you know, I had experiences, what I would feel to be like, it started off with phantom pregnancies.
Mm-hmm.
And then one night, then the next day I'd wake up after having a sleep that night and it was gone. And I would constantly be at the doctor. I'm like, this is bizarre. Like, what's going on? I'm like 6 months pregnant. You know, everything's changing, everything's weird, and yet I hadn't, you know, done the whole funky chicken with anyone, you know. But I'm having these experiences. And then it progressed from that where many times I would wake up and, you know, the clothing would be one time I woke up and, well, I'll tell you the whole story. I've gone to bed. You know how you get the knowing when they're going to turn up? They're around.
Yeah.
So I've gone to bed, I've locked everything. I don't know what it is, but I've made sure I've locked everything, everything's closed. And you kind of go, I went into this kind of like a vision or something, and I remember sitting in bed and this, I was living by myself, I'd moved to the city at this stage, and the mirror was in front of me. And I remember in the vision it was, I had to do this to myself all the time, and I was like, oh, I wonder what, you know, I'm weird anyway, just roll with it. So I've gone to sleep and I've woken up, somebody's in the room, and I look over and there's three beings. There's two at the end of the bed and there's one right next to my head, and he's doing this and he's rubbing it. I can't put my hands on my glasses, but hang on, he's doing this, and I'm looking through. And as I look up, I look at him and he looks right at me. And I'm like, you were just getting me ready. You were just getting me calmed down before it's like, oh, my hands are all over your face and everything. I'm like, okay, that's cool. And then I wake up in the morning, my clothing, like it was winter, so I have flannelette jammies, inside out, back to front. Everything's the wrong way. The blankets are, everything's the wrong way. Everything's moved around in the room and I'm, you know, almost on the verge of like hemorrhaging.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, and I know instantly the download, it's okay, you're very fertile, we're just doing an extraction again. I'm like, sweet, got up, went to work and I was happy. You know, like it just becomes such a familiar over and over and over and over that I just, whatever.
Well, once you got the communication and dialogue going on, a lot of what people perceive in the beginning or even continue if they don't have that dialogue, it just goes out the window because you're playing part, you're initiating, and you realise that you've agreed on another level, if unbeknownst to this conscious body computer, what you're doing. When the being put his hands on your face like that and you're looking through, were the beings the same beings you'd seen previously on the craft when you were a child, or were these different dudes again?
They were of the same grey family.
Yeah.
I don't know, but they were the bigger, older ones.
Yeah.
They were taller.
All right, yeah.
To me, they say that the littler they are, the denser the colour they are, the more they're just newbies, like they're just starting out, they're just working it out.
Yeah.
And then as you get older, you get lighter, the more enlightened you become, the more lighter you become and the taller you grow.
Yeah.
So that's, I don't know if it's all of them, but that's that particular family shows it to me.
Yeah. Have you seen any that, like, so they would get whiter?
As in that shiny, illuminating white light.
Yeah, almost like ash on a fire. Bright white.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I've interacted with some of them and the two different types, but they're pretty much the same thing. That one group's called the Guardians and then one works for the Council of the Whole.
Okay.
And they do come in different sizes. They have been all white, but they're just purely in service mode.
Yeah.
They can adapt to any realm. Like, a lot of them can.
Yeah.
It's a lot more of the light beings. It's a lot denser here, so it's more energy and wear and tear on them, though they can do it. But to save them popping in and out all the time, you've got these dudes that can just handle anything because they were created before that. So
they'll just do it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of the littler ones that have presented themselves to me just they're like the, like you say, like the workers.
Mm-hmm.
Like they just get in, get it done. And I think that's why people who have had encounters go, there's no emotion.
Yeah.
And they've said, oh, they're very cold, like they're very mechanical. I think they've just got a job to do.
Mm.
And then you get it to get you to where you need to be, and then you start meeting maybe all the other ones come in.
Yeah.
And, well, that's for me anyway.
Well, no, and that's the thing. The more as it goes on and you've got more conscious interaction going on, it just, like, I don't even know how many types of beings I've interacted with now. I've just, yeah. I don't even bother counting. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But you connected, and then you realise some of these are other facets of you, or that you've been them, or another part of you is actually them right now. You know, all these different things where it gets trippy. When was it that, like, you came to Australia? Like, because did all this start off originally, except for the stuff that's happened later on with the kids and all that, and up to today? In your childhood, that was all in New Zealand, and then you come to Australia, and it's just continued.
Yeah, so I've been in Australia now 13 and a half years,
mm-hmm.
and that itself was a little bit of a story. I've truly felt that I was drawn here and I was destined to come here. I had travelled to Australia numerous times for holidays, and even when I was on holiday, I met a being, and I'd love to tell you, it's a short one, but I'll tell you that story.
Yeah.
I was about 22, and we came over just for a girls' weekend. Like, literally, girls' weekend, she was going to get wild. And, you know, we were just hanging out in that. And then, you know, woke up, oh, all right, we've got a criteria we've got to stick to. We're off shopping. We're going to get stuff for the day. Let's hang out on the beach, you know. So we walk out of the hotel. This is at Broadbeach on the Gold Coast.
I actually lived there for a little bit.
That's a mega place.
It's off its head. Yeah, well, I was rapping then, and that is off its head.
Yeah, that is just, I love it there. So we just, our hotel was right on the beach. I won't say the hotel because it's really well known. And, well, maybe that's a good thing. I'm not sure. With all the schoolies in that unit at the moment. So we walk out on the beach and we just walk down a little bit. We were going to walk along the beach to surface to do shopping and then come back. Yeah, hungover, that ain't going to work. The sun is intense over here.
Yeah.
So we get about, you know, 10 minutes into the walk. We're dripping with sweat. Oh, we've got to sit on the beach. We've got to sit down. I've got to have a break. We're going to get in that water. And it was packed out. It was packed. So the girls are sitting up behind me up on the dunes a little bit further, and I'm a little bit closer to the water. And, you know, some time's gone on, and we just, you know, as you do, you watch people, families, whatever. And then I honed in on this particular mother with a little kid. And it was just, you know, like maybe two, and she was just dunking it up and down in the water and wetting the kid's feet, and, oh, you know, having a good time. And I was thinking, oh, yeah, that's cool, that's nice, you know, carry on. And then out of freaking nowhere, it was like a tidal wave came. This big, massive wave just come out of nowhere and just come, like, right up, went right over the mother and all the people, like, everybody, took the mother and the child up, like, under the water and washed the baby out of the mother's hands. She's jumped up going, my baby, my baby, my baby. Okay, so we're looking over here.
Mm-hmm.
The baby's been washed out to the ocean. And she's, help me, help me. So what's everyone going to do? You're all going to look over there. You're all going to run there and you're all going to help there. So I'm sitting on the beach going, I don't have energy. Look, bless that little baby, but I'm not going to be the one to save it. Sorry, I'm very loving in that, but I'm like, man.
I'm here on a holiday, being on the pier, stuff that.
I'm doing that. Somebody will end up trying to save me.
Yeah.
So I'm watching. I'm always watching. So they're all running over. She's screaming off her nut. People for miles are watching and looking in that direction. I'm like, yeah. So I look over this way. And here comes old mate, all right? The water's only just receding. It's like it didn't go out.
Mm-hmm.
It just stayed there. this mass of water just stayed there. So out of the water, I see, because it's cleared, everyone's gone there. I see, I'm going to reenact it. I see this head pop up out of the water. And I'm like, oh, shit, I hope he's all right, you know. And then he kind of comes up and he does this little movement. And as he's coming up out of the water, right, to stand up into human form. So he was I call him fish man. Okay, so he's come up and he looks like the bottom of him is like an octopus, you know, all the arms and everything. And so he's popped up and his eyes are gone bloop, bloop, and he's looking around and I'd seen him, he hadn't seen me yet because he's still forming into human. Mm-hmm. And as he's come up, his skin and everything changes to human skin. Mm-hmm. And as he gets right up, you look from his torso down. And it's all like tentacles.
Wow.
And by then, we've seen each other. And I'm looking at people over there going, wow, you're looking at the baby, but you need to look over here. What? There's a dude that's a fish. And so he's now gone, oh, fuck, you've seen me. And I'm like, yeah, I've seen you, mate. And so he just goes, oh, fuck it. Just keeps coming out of the water. Sorry, I'm getting animated.
Don't worry, we do that every now and then on this show. People know that by now. Don't worry about that, doll.
Sweet.
All good intent.
So he's just come out, and you can see his tentacles are his feet and everything, and he's like, it's all going around him. And then he just morphs up into normal human legs and human feet. And he's got these Warwick Kappa shorts on.
Oh,
and I'm like... What'd you have last night? But again, I'm still just sitting there like.
You didn't have any trips or some Eckies or something.
Like, okay, this is not the strangest thing I have seen. It may sound, but they get weirder. And I'm like, okay, so what are you? And he said, oh, I'm Fishman. That's just the easiest way to say it. And I'm like this is happening in a split second telepathically in the bright sun on the beach. He said, oh, I live in the shelf under the ocean, but we all live under there. And I'm like, well, what are you doing, man? Why are you here? In a split second, he's still morphing.
Yeah.
No T-shirt, Warwick little Kappa, little, you know, AFL footy pants. And he's just like, well, I'm just checking it out. You know, I've got to harden up. I'm in the sun, and then I go back under the water. And I'm like, okay. So he's just come out, and he's just looked at, and he does this whole thing with his eyes, like they kind of go bloop, bloop. And he just starts running down the beach, and he's like, just keeps running. And then the minute he's out of the water, bang, the water recedes. She's got her baby, and it's like time slowed down, and then it all comes back together. And then the motions of the tide coming in goes back to normal. And she saves the baby, everyone cheers, and I'm like, you know what, that was my first introduction to let's distract the masses.
Yeah.
Get them looking over there while it's going on over here. Now, whether that's used galactically, it's certainly now used politically.
You would know. Yeah, definitely, definitely. And it's a very good point to make. One thing I've learned, and I've worried about this, and you would know this yourself, being an experiencer doing the contact work that you do, is that when people see a craft or they see an orb, I usually look, if it's down on the ground, I look up. If it's up, I look down.
Yeah.
And because usually they're already with you anyway.
Yeah.
And that's like a sense of humor distraction. It's like, here's an orb, and you'll see the speed baseballs. Yeah. And all of a sudden there's a... You know, those who look up, because they realise it's a distraction, there's, you know, a kick-ass craft or something there. So, but that's funny. Those who don't know who Warwick Kappa was, he was a famous 80s, early 90s, I think, Sydney football player with the mullet and the tight, tight, tight footy shorts. So, he's well known over here.
And I had no clue who he was until I then came until to later. And I was like, oh, he wears those little shorts. Yeah. And I was like, oh, hang on, now I've got a... You know, a connection. I was like, okay.
But so that's trippy stuff, because that's that's obviously something that's living right beside us. Would you say it's living in this realm on Earth? Because it's obviously come out of the water and you're seeing it in this vibration.
Yeah, he the way it was instantly, like a nanosecond it was relayed to me was I can be in both realms.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know those fish that can, I don't know, I'm not a scientist or anything, but, you know, you can live part of the time in the water and they can live part time on dry earth. And that was him. And he's like, I'm just going for a run. Don't worry. I'm just going for a run along the beach, checking it out. But I think it was more to do with hardening with the sun.
Yeah. Well, that's like an awesome shape-shifting story. So it can be one thing and then just manipulate its molecular structure and just turn into a friggin' human. Yeah.
I just watched him, like, from the head, he just morphed. Like, it went all the way down. And the last thing were his feet were, like, still legs with tentacles, and then it just kind of moved into it, and I was just like, whoa, that's wicked.
No, so that's the weird, that wonderful day, shit I like to hear. That's cool.
Since that day, I've never eaten calamari.
I love calamari.
I can't, because I think of him all the time, my fish boy. Yeah. So I don't eat fish. I don't eat any seafood, and I come from New Zealand, and come on, man.
Yeah.
We're mean at just good getting fish and down chips. That seafood. That's our whole life. That's all we did growing up. And since then, I'm just like, oh, nah. Because that might be him. Do you know what I mean? I'm just like, no, I can't do that. So, yeah, so that was a bit of a trippy experience. And then I went back to New Zealand, and it's just gone, switch. You've got to live on the Gold Coast. And I've gone, sweet. 17 days later, I had sold everything I ever owned in my house, and I was living on the Gold Coast.
Now, just for the viewers overseas, especially America, Gold Coast would be equivalent to, like, Hollywood in Florida or something, wouldn't it?
It's just Florida, Miami, party scene. Yeah. But it's right on the coastline, right on the beach.
Packed beaches.
Packed.
People drinking and getting high, there's gambling, it's just like party 24/7 and it's like the real party scene. So anybody that's overseas that's trying to get a picture of where she's talking about, just imagine a huge party scene on an awesome beach with hot weather and white sands and boats and surfers.
Surfers. Yeah, a little bit of Hawaii throwing in, you know. Yeah. But just to clarify, I don't drink alcohol and I certainly don't take drugs and I don't even smoke cigarettes. So I'm as normal as you can get, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but prior to that, because that was about 22, I manifested a trip to Egypt, because you know how you have a calling? And you have a place, and I truly believe that these were my beings that were coming through saying, you know, there's certain places you've got to go and certain places and things you've got to do. As much as I was called to the Gold Coast, because this is a huge spiritual movement going on here, I ended up going to Egypt on my own, and I did a month traveling around Egypt, and I went to the Great Pyramids. Awesome. You know, I had to bribe a guard so I could go and stand up on the pyramid. I know you're not meant to, but I did. I got photos.
Awesome.
Did the pyramids, did Karnak, did, you know, all the places. But it wasn't until I got to Abu Simbel, which is right at the very end of the Nile, and you fly into it, and it was Ramses' fortress. And I was like, the minute I got there, the frequency changed. And I went, you know what? This is where I'm meant to be. Not the pyramids. This is the place. And I know all about the pyramids and their frequency and the energy and, you know, the levitation and all the energy capstone and everything. But going to Abu Simbel, Ramses' fortress, blew my head apart. That place is just like a mega frequency. And it connects with me. So I'm drawn in, and you've got to go with your little tours and everything. So they stagger the tour people going in. And so my group, my busload off the plane, we go. And I'm just like, whoa, this is trippy. You know, everything's just so huge. Everything's massive. And you think, oh, my God, how did you build this? How did you make this? So you're not allowed to touch anything. Of course, I'm that nosy little kid from the craft who's like, I want to touch everything. Stop touching, stop touching. Oh, I have to. You know, I'm the naughty one that would get the head on the cane on the hand, you know. So when you walk in the big, massive doors, you've got to turn left and then you follow it all the way down and around, and it's just this massive, it's, you know, cut into the side of a mountain. And we're all in lines, and there's one tour guide, and showing everyone around and pointing out this is that. So we've had to stop it was like a 90 degree angle on the boards, and there was big columns in front of me, and all they have is like ribbon. It's not to stop you from going over. It's like, you can't go here, you've got to stay on this side, little bit of rope. And I'm like, yeah, well, that ain't gonna stop me. I would never, ever, you know, hurt anything or steal anything, but I just needed to touch it. And it was so, it just took over my entire body. Touch me. And I'm like, ooh, all right, I will. So I'm like this naughty little kid, and I'm looking around. Right, they're all listening to her. Again, all the eyes are over there. And I'm like, sweet. So I lean over this little bit of string or whatever they have, and I touch the big column, and I'm like, yeah, that's cool. So I'm leaning, touching it, and bang, instantly, I just turn into like electricity, and total electricity. And I start falling into the concrete, well, you know, like the stone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm leaning, and I'm like, this is wicked. Yeah, keep going. And instantly it was, if you go in, you're not coming back. And I went, let's do it. So I'm going in. I'm like, yeah, let's go. And then, because I'm like, I'm single. I've got no kids. I'm traveling Egypt on my own, a woman on her own. You know, yeah, let's do this. I'm not coming home. And then all of a sudden, I think she was a German tour guide, just come running over. I feel like half my body, I felt like Philadelphia Experiment. Mm-hmm. Half the body's in it and half the body's out. I was half in it. And all I get is this big whack, whack, whack on me. And, of course, I pull out and she's not gone, what are you doing? Don't do that. She's gone, you're not meant to see that. Now, why would she say you're not meant to see that? Not, don't do that. Because what does she know that, did they know it was there? Like this portal just opened up. Yeah. I could take you. Yeah. I wish we could just time travel. I'd take you straight to that spot and we'd be in it. I know exactly where it is. Even though those blocks have been moved from the original site to the next site,
yeah.
I think they knew what was there. They know. They know it's there. Because the people around me were like, whoa, what's going on? And she's just whacking the shit out of me. You know, because I've got those little cane pointers and things.
Mm-hmm.
She's just whacking me. You're not allowed to see that. Get out. And I'm like, whoa, did you see that? And she's like, out.
That's true.
And I'm just like, okay, she knows I seen it. She knows I felt it, but she knows it's real.
Mm.
What? And I was like, that threw my world more than the actual experience, because I was like, shit, there's people out there that know the shit. There's people out there that know this stuff is real, that is going on, and are still covering this shit up. They know there's portals and all these amazing places on the planet. They know this is happening. They know we can get energized from this and have this exchange, but they stop it. They stop you and go, no, pay your money, follow the queue like a sheep, you know, look at this, look at that, go back out, get on your bus and go home.
Mm.
That was your experience. And I was like, to me, that was just that was mega. And I went to Valley of the Kings, Valley of the Kings and Valley of the Queens, because I had really long, long jet black hair. And of course, you know, you wear your scarf and everything. I learned the most basic of Egyptian words. They all thought I was Egyptian. Okay. So when we're lining up at Valley of the Kings and Valley of the Queens, that, you know, I'd get separated because, you know, the majority of the people were over 50s, European, German, English. And, of course, I'm a single, dark woman traveling on her own, but they think I'm one of them. You go. Yeah, all right, I'll go. Jump the queue. And I got to go any tomb I wanted. Anything. I got to look at some of the stuff that was off limits to people. So I went into one of the tombs that had just been open, and it was a child's tomb. I don't know any more of the details, but I can see and tell you what was in it. And you're not meant to go in it, but I'm just like, oh, I'm one of them. Let's go. Okay. So you walk down just a little bit, and it's just one little tomb. But you know what? That bright, intense blue was all over the walls. It's like that door had just been open and I've got to walk in. And I'm like looking at it going, oh shit, this is new. This is, oh, should I be here? No, but you're going to stay. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be here. And you look over the walls and, you know, like the Egyptian heads, you know, the very sort of cone head shape.
Yeah. Elongated ones going.
Very elongated skulls. They're all on the walls. And I'm like, but there's no headdress on them. You know how you have the headdress in the Egyptian, the snake, or, you know, northern or the southern pharaohs or something? And I'm like, there's no headdresses. There's no colours. It's just a bright blue elongated head. And I'm thinking, that's their heads. You know, I'm like 20 going, okay, that's their heads. All right, that's trippy. Okay, all right. And then somehow this guy's showing me around. And he's like, oh, you know, look at this. This is amazing. We've just opened up the room. And I'm thinking, oh, I've just entered the Twilight Zone. You know, because sometimes I think, how did I manifest that shit up?
Yeah.
Like, shit just happened. I'm like, I'm going to get busted. And they're going to say, you get out, you're arrested, or something. Get out. And I'm like, oh, no, just play it cool. And then he takes me over to this little sarcophagus, and he opens it up, and he unwraps this. And I think, you know what, you can't make this shit up. And I'm like, it's just me and this bloke in this room, and he must think I'm a doctor or an archaeologist or somebody who's important, and he's, you know, unwrapping it, and here's this skeleton with an elongated baby's head. It's a baby with a head, and I've gone, oh yeah, look, you know, I'm trying to play the game, but it's a baby that, it was a fetus of like a baby, all its skeletal structure was intact, but its head was elongated.
See, what's trippy about that straight away is that a lot of people go, and we've seen it apparently in South America and and in, you know, different parts of the world.
Yeah.
They wrap their head.
They manipulate it.
Yeah, but here's a baby that you haven't got a chance to do that with because it's a baby.
And it's on the walls.
Yeah.
And I'm like thinking, and then it just casually, he just wraps it back up, pushes the stone sarcophagus thing back on, the lid on back on, and we're looking around, and then I'm like, oh, thank you. And I just walk out, and then my, you know how you have a guide, and Assam come running over, Amber, you know, Assam, Amber, what are you doing? You need to. And I'm like, oh, no, man. Assam, you don't know where I've been. And he's like, you've got to stop pretending you're Egyptian. I'm like, they think I'm Egyptian, not the other way around.
Yeah, you didn't do anything wrong.
I don't say nothing. I know nothing.
Just going back for a second, when you saw that, like, now, like, and you're in tune more than ever, like doing psychic work and everything else, what comes to mind when you replay that in your mind, or even then, like, where do you think these dudes were from? What do you think they were? Obviously, they were human-looking in terms of arms and legs and structure, except for the elongated skull, we and you could see that they were blue.
Yeah.
What do you feel about them?
Well, even though back then, you know, I was definitely into, I was doing lots of reading, I was drawn to, you know, all these, you know, amazing sites around the world that I've wanted to go to, but I'd only got to go to Egypt. And I kind of already had an inkling of what was going on. I was already into the UFO and ET scene, and but I was on my own. I was doing this shit on my own. It wasn't people for me to go to. So, again, my human brain was that a trick? Was that just because I want it to be that? You know, at first your brain starts thinking one thing, and then second I'm like, no, that was real. Yeah. That those two things happened to me, and I've just got to roll with it. I've just got to. But I knew instantly, one, I wasn't meant to see it, but two, I was.
Mm-hmm.
And then three, I was like, that's a human skeletal body, but from the head up, the eyes and the head was not. And I instantly knew, I said, no, that's star beings have been here. We've integrated, or they've integrated with us. And again, that whole thing back to the craft when we're kids, you know, we want to see how you interact with each other. Kids don't know war, you know, and people who love don't know differences. People who love don't know, oh, no, sorry, I love you, but I can't be with you because you're with this. You just find a way to just be together and love each other and overcome all of that. So I also see that they just interacted with each other as if, like, well, hey, you're good to us, we're good to you, we're good to each other, let's just be.
It's just being, you know, like kids, like they say, and yeah, that's where the program of separation,
yeah,
and dividing comes into play, where you don't need that. But over time, the programming's put in today's, yeah, society. So,
yeah
that's in it. Do you get any idea where they were from, just in your own mind?
To me, I really feel the blue is very sort of that, you know, that typical sort of Palladian, but I've never had an interaction with Palladian, so I think I'm only putting that into it. But I feel that, again, that connection with Orion. I really feel like that, the whole, you know, big head thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just, but again, I also feel like it's something that's undiscovered.
Mm-hmm. There's so, like, much over there under the sand and soil and everything, that once little bits are found and it more and more comes out, it's just going to blow people away.
Oh, some of the tombs I got to go into, I tried to get in Tutankhamun's one, but they were doing renovations at the front, it had collapsed. And I was like, well, that's cool. I'd already been to the museum and seen all his, you know, glory that they had found. You know, I was like, that's cool, I don't need to go there. And that's when I was directed to go to other places. And it was just intense and mega. And I just can't, you have to see. It's one of those places you just have to see to just fathom what's going on. But, I loved the pyramids and I loved what was there. And, you know, touching it, the frequency in that, and I was like, you know what, it's just not to the glory that it was.
Mm-hmm.
I love that it's still there and all of that, but I was like, I felt just that you're missing out on so much, because, you know, the hiding of it, they've pinched the capstone, they've taken the jewels, the gold, everything, and I'm like, you've got to look at other places other than just the pyramids. And took me right to the very, very end of this whole experience, and, you know, Abu Simbel, and there was a portal.
That's friggin' awesome.
The portal was just like, it was on, what I could see on the other side was not physical things like, you know, trees and green grass and that. It was, I do a lot of this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what this is, but I always do it because I just feel and love, you just feel it. And it was just, you become particles.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went in, the top half of me just broke apart. I was just become the oneness.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, I could so just go. I could go and not come back and just be missing woman in Egypt and I wouldn't even care.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've got
You're unbounded.
I was like, let's just do this. Just let's go, man. Yeah, so that was pretty cool. And then obviously I've gone home and said, you know what, there's more to just rugby and, you know, freezing cold for 8 months of the year in the snow. I'm going to the Gold Coast and I'm going to live there and everything's going to be fine. 8 weeks later, after being in Australia, I met my husband and we've now been together 13 years.
Awesome. That's awesome.
And that was a trip in itself. We just seen each other and he had like sparks coming out of his head and I went, I'm going to marry you.
You knew.
I just knew like yeah. that. So, yeah, so that's what led on to being in on the Gold Coast, and my husband's now experienced things. We've now had two children together and they're now ET contactees and experienced a lot of things. And he's told me about his mother. We met on the same street that his mother used to live, like 25, 30 years ago. She was into ETs and she had seen UFO. She would always talk about, you know, and I was like, we were even born in the same month. And I was like, we've got some funny parallels between your mother who's passed on and me. I'm like, maybe, I always think maybe she willed him to meet, to, me and him to meet. To, I don't know. There's just something, I just think that's not a coincidence that we meet. And then all this has happened, so.
Well, do you want to go into where things are now and a bit about your group and what you do?
Yeah.
I want to get you back on sometime because there's just a heap we could talk about.
I had a heap more stories.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't even got to the troll people and the shaggy man yet.
Well, touch on what you want to get on to. That's all right because I will get you back on anyway. But just you will lead that at the moment, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Let the audience, the viewers and listeners know what you're doing now and about your group and your actual work as well. And just so the viewers and listeners know, there will be links at the bottom of where this posted on the video, or if you go to the audio version on the website, there's going to be the same links there as well. So just if you need to go to petermaxwellslattery.com and hit on the page of Peter Maxwell Slattery Show and everything will be there. So, yeah, let us know what's going on now.
So obviously we, you know, I love gatherings and I love circles and we're doing night watches and things like that. But again, it's all been brought down to, you know, as above, so below. There's always a balance in everything in life. There's always that yin and yang. So people who come along, oh yeah, I want to see an alien and I want to see, you know, starships and I want to do this. And I'm like, well, let's just bring it down. Let's connect with self. Let's connect with the stranger sitting next to you. Have you even introduced yourself? Have you made a connection? Have you made, you know, close the circle up? Like, you want to meet a frickin' being from God knows where, but you don't know who's sitting next to you in the dark. Mm. Introduce yourself. So I'm pretty, I'm all about this first before we go to that.
And that's what we experienced when I was up there with you doing it. We had some awesome activity that night. And when you've got a environment of everyone there having the oneness, and what people have got to realise, and James Gilliland says it best, the mind you seek is the mind you connect with. So if you're in line together and you're in line with interacting with those that are in line with the awakening, healing of humanity, that's what you're going to get. And a lot of the time, if people aren't at that vibration, others will get interactions, but it's going to be unknown to others. And the night that we did it up there, everyone felt the beings there. But then you got people like your group and Lauren, myself and Kay, we're seeing the beings there. Yeah. We were seeing them as much as what I'm seeing you now.
Yeah.
So this is where it's different, but it's a very good point because people do the same with what I do every now and then. They rock up and they want to see something, but hey, chill, meditate first.
Yeah.
Let's have some laughs, some fun.
That's it. Bring that frequency up.
Yeah.
You know, do the foundations. You got to, as much as we want them to put the hard work in to come see me, I've got to put the hard work in. Yes, I've been lucky enough and I feel so blessed and humbled that it was out of my control anyway when I was younger throughout my life growing up. I was experiencing all these different beings. But, oh, man, I've put the hard work in. I've gone, okay, this is happening. I need to roll with this and I need to jump up and connect with them as well.
It's meeting them halfway.
meet them halfway, yeah. Or, you know, some of them make you work and you have to go more, you know, like the sun beings that are now who are connecting with me, man, they're hard work. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't. They do not. They are teaching us a lesson in Australia at the moment. That's what they've come through and told me, and they showed it. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, they're like, we can burn you fuckers if we want. And I'm like, oh, no, I love you. I do. Not me. And they're like, they're all about Mother Earth. They are, without us, you cannot exist. But at the same time, meet us halfway. Stop cutting your trees down. Stop polluting your water. Let's, you know, you've got to look after humanity and Mother Earth. And they, oh, man, they're intense. They're the sun beings from the portal of the sun.
Yeah.
But I call them the tangerine beings, but I also call them my great big bobbleheads. Because I've got great big giant bobbleheads, like those little, they've got tiny little bodies and these giant bobbleheads like a sun, sun on top of the body. And when they come through, they are like, we're gonna teach you a lesson. We're gonna teach
burn you fuckers down. I love how you put that.
Well, they came through October 12th, which was my birthday, and of course this was just before G20 in Brisbane, just up the road. And the distraction there was Ebola. Let's talk about Ebola, but the real topic was meant to be climate change. Now, whether you're or not you're for climate change, it needs to be discussed. It needs to be talked about. It needs to be, whether you're for or against it, the earth is getting fucked over.
Yeah.
So whichever way you're going to play it, you still need to look after that ultimately. And they said, we're going to come through and show you a lesson. That it's not all about the Ebola and about this, it's about the earth so that people don't get these diseases because they would have an immunity against it because if they were healthy, they could grow food, they had healthy, beautiful running water, they could wash themselves, sanitary, you know, hygiene. You wouldn't have any of these diseases and these things that people are passing and contract because anything that's passed, contracted is by touch. It means you're not cleaning, you're not washing, so you need the water. So they said, we're going to come through. And then UFOQ had documentation and, you know, photographic evidence that there was a triangular of orange-coloured craft that was photoed here in Brisbane on the 14th of October. And I was like, okay, they're here.
Well, there's dudes there, and I've been telling people that for years, and also, like, you know a bit about the Pleiadian contact that I've got, which is a light being. She's from the star Merope in the Pleiades, like our sun. It's not the same as our sun, but it's a star.
Yeah.
And she's a gatekeeper of the portal there, so not only are these places got entities and the sun's alive itself and conscious, but they're also portals.
And
very interesting what you're saying, because Barry Littleton, who I spoke to you about before we did the show... We're checking out the last episode I did with him because he was talking about how, you know, the sun's going to be putting out some stuff, and I've been talking about the solar flares along with any other people.
I love that guy.
Yeah, yeah. the other thing is too, at the moment, from the information I'm getting, we've got a lot of volcanic activity, and what's going on is where we are in galactic plane with the energies, the tectonic plates, and everything's moving more than normal. And not just Earth, but everything in the solar system is heating up. Now, either way, whether people are for climate change or not, there's a change going on. Number one, we just got to stop fucking over the Earth. That's just a given. That's all there is to it. Yeah. But there are going to be changes with that, and we're seeing the signs. So there's going to be more volcano and earthquake activity because of the energy affecting the plates. And here we are I'm in Melbourne, and we had an earthquake, I think, yesterday. Yeah. I didn't even know. I don't watch the news until Sol's daughter said something about it. But this is all going on now, and the last few days, the sightings are beefed up. What we'll go into before we wrap up, you were saying you've got some information on what's going on weather-wise at the moment before we went into the show. Would you mind touching on that at the moment?
Yeah, well, that was also to do with the sun being.
All right, yep.
Yeah. And they were just, it's almost, when they come through, they said to me, you know what, yous aren't listening. And I have this battle with them because they're just like, well, fuck it, we don't care. And I'm like, dudes, I'm doing my best to try and teach people and interact and help and share, but I can't rock up to G20 and say, hey, guys, stop trying to pretend to talk about Ebola and raise money that's probably just going in your back pockets anyway. It's not helping, you know, families over there. Talk about what you think is airy-fairy spiritual stuff and say, plant the trees and look after the water. That's part of the change that's going on the planet, because the more we keep going, the more, you know, we keep having, and I don't want to get into how, you know, population, depopulation talk, but I mean, out the back, I woke up Monday morning, they bowled a whole section of trees. They just bowled it just to build another 200 houses. And I'm like, really? That was a grandmother tree out the back that had been there probably 200 plus years, and they've just bowled it one morning. And I'm like, feeling the intensity of this pain of this tree gone. And I'm like, this is what they're talking about. Of course there's going to be changes have happened on the planet for millions of years. There's going to be, you know, ups and downs, waxing and waning, and there's going to be aches and pains and that. There's going to be earthquakes. There's always going to be volcanic because, you know, Mother Earth needs to, like you said, let a bit of steam out. Mm. But the more we suck the oil out and change the inner of the Earth and change the outer of the Earth, the more it's going to intensify. You know, you don't have to be psychic or even in tune. You can just go, oh, yeah, we're fucking over the planet. This is what's going to happen. I mean, it's going to happen. But then there's that little element on top of it where they have said, no, we're going to teach you a lesson. You need to have, what is it, cause and effect or change, cause and effect? For something to happen, for you to see it, to change it. Mm-hmm. But at the moment, we're just wafting through. There's a lot of people, oh, yeah, no, everything's going to be fine, you know.
And but we've been very lucky here in Australia that we actually probably more than any other country, we do need, and I don't wish it upon us, but I do think we need some hardcore shit because we don't get earthquakes like the rest of the world. We don't get tornadoes. We do get pretty bad kick-ass fires.
Yeah.
And people are hurt, but we really need a bit of everything to go, hey, fucking, you're not so vulnerable, and Mother Nature kicks everyone's ass more than anything, and, hey, we need a bit more respect. And here in Australia, we just don't have it like the rest of the world, but we do need something to go, hey, bring you back to Earth and have some respect.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's just where we're located too. We rarely get anything. Again, we do get big storms and fires, but everything
nothing
else we sort
too
of
major.
Yeah.
Well, look at it. When they came through, they said, we're going to try and, you know, make you really think about it. Now, the day Obama was here was the hottest day in record for, what, 100 years or something in Australia. It was like 40-plus in Brisbane or something. And I'm like, they're trying to tell you something that you've just destroyed everything. It's hot. And he's jumped up and said, we're not talking about climate change. We don't need to discuss that. I don't see any issues with it. We've got other things to talk about. And I'm like, it's the fucking hottest day of the year in Australia. And then the day he left is the day we had those torrential storms. And I'm like, how do you not see this is going on? You know, we need a constant, like, we need the fires. Mm-hmm. The dreaming time. We've had fires.
And the Aboriginals have been predicting how they come into play and where they go, and the white man and everyone didn't listen. And then we fuck ourselves over because we destroy certain areas. And the Aboriginals warned us. And it's the same with the flooding areas.
Yeah.
The Aboriginal elders and everyone go, hey, you build there, you're going to be fucked. And what do? They build there, lose lives, lose property, and we've been warned about it.
Yeah.
Here in Melbourne at the moment, so I lived in Melbourne for about 4 years. Years ago.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, it's summer and I've only been breaking out the T-shirts and shorts lately, and it's, even though we're at the bottom of the country, it still gets hot. But this is not spring or summer. Like, I know we're going to get it, but this is too late to me. So it's just everything's getting, like you said, you've got hot day and then you've got storms.
And storms. And we've been getting hit with the hotter than what you've been getting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, hang on, that's a bit topsy-turvy. And the day that I ring Dad in New Zealand, he's like, oh, it's snowing. Fuck. Like, you're only 3 hours away, mate.
Yeah.
How can 3.5 hours away and we're in a blizzard, they had an earthquake, it's snowing, and on the hottest day of the year, and I'm like, I didn't even know how that even happened. I'm like, well, you're not really that far away, you know, and I'm just, I don't know, it's just going to intensify, there's going to be a lot of changes to get people, but the more information you're given, it feels like sometimes the dumber people get.
And then you realise the more you don't know and the more you've got to get out there.
I've got to get out there.
Yeah.
And like you, you're trying to get it out. You're trying to get it out and, you know, you just think, oh. That's why I have this tussle with them. I'm like, I'm trying my best, but I'm not at anybody. Mm-hmm. I'm just a me. I can only do so much of what I can do to help people and get information out. But, you know, what do you do with it? Like I said, I can't rock up to G20 and say, hey, you need to talk about this, not that.
Or the sun being bubblehead dudes are going to come down here and fuck you.
You know, it's just like, you know, so
yeah.
I try to, when I have my circles and gatherings and night watches and that, I just really try to bring it down to basic levels. You know, I'm not going to produce a being for you because maybe that's not your path. Mm-hmm. Okay, what we're doing is being together, connecting with Mother Earth, trying to explain, you know, come on, let's all just come together and experience each other's energies, because at the end of the day, that great big ship in the sky ain't going to turn up and go, oh, I'm going to fucking save you, or let's go, I've got another planet ready for us, mm-hmm. because they're going to go, well, who the fuck are you? You've done nothing. You didn't do anything. I don't know what... What do you do? You're still a nasty bitch, you know. Yeah. Sorry.
People think they want that elsewhere in the solar system or on other planets to take what we're doing here elsewhere.
Yeah. No, let's do it here now. Mm. Like, what's the buzz? What's the deal? You know, it's so easy to connect with people now and just start a conversation or use that intuition that everybody has, no matter what. They say they don't, but everyone's born with that gift of intuition. Of even if it's just a little bit where you go, you know, your mother said, oh, we'll use your gut instinct. Well, do you feel good about going to that party tonight or something? That's how it started with me when I got into spirit. And I'm like, well, no, I don't feel good. And then you find out maybe something had happened or, you know. But if it feels good and it feels right, then keep doing it.
Yeah.
Keep, you're not hurting anybody. You're not, and I just think keep the information flowing, sharing with each other and connecting with other people and not being a dictator about stuff,
mm-hmm.
but just really sharing with each other and letting other people talk about their experiences and know they're not alone.
Have you got any events or things popping up in your location over the Christmas?
Over the Christmas, not really. We kind of just, my group is, well, not my group, us gathering together. We're kind of like hippies, really. We just kind of go, you know what, I feel like let's do something. And I just put it up on Facebook. Yeah, well, we're going to do something. Let's do it together.
Yeah.
I don't stick to the whole, oh, this month is a CE5 on the, you know, the 15th of January. I'm like, oh, I don't care. If I don't feel it on the 15th, I'll do it on the 20th,
yeah.
Whatever.
Well, I'm most nights here at home anyway, and I've got dates set up, but it's just whenever, you know when it's going to, and it's happening all the time.
Yeah, there's stuff like the other night we were sitting here and we were just, you know, we were trying to figure out the Skype, and I was like, because I've got massive windows over the big hill here. And I'm like, shit, what's all those lights in the sky? And I always laugh when I say those words. I'm like, what do you think? And I'm like, shit. So we've all gone out. And there's these massive big lights in the sky just dancing around. So the kids come out and are like, oh, the ETs are here. And I'm like, well, say hello, you know. And we're like, out there we're trying to, you know, do this coherent thought
mm-hmm.
sequence out to them and do all this stuff, and I swear they were there for like 2 hours. But I've become so used to just going, oh, there you go. And the kids just go, oh yeah, and then we just sit back on the couch. You know, their experiences are just, that might be another show.
Well, the kids are teaching us a lot.
Woo!
Definitely, definitely. Now we'll get into that. We'll wrap it up there. Again, if people want to, they're in your area or they want to get in contact, they can go to the Facebook or Twitter, which I'll have links to.
But so that's just City GC. So City is CETE-GC. That's, core extraterrestrial enlightenment on the Gold Coast. Obviously, we go further than that, but I'm just located on the Gold Coast.
Yeah, and hopefully me and Sol will pop through up there in the new year sometime, because I've got to go up and see Giles and Mary and a few people around the new year. So we get the opportunity, we'll pop in and we'll hang out.
Oh, I love it. I love Sol so much.
She loves you too. She speaks highly of you, and she's talked about a few of the chats she's had on Facebook and that. So, I'm glad you two spoke before this. So, that's awesome. Good. All right, Dole.
Thank you so much.
No worries. Thank you so much, and we'll wrap it up there. Cheers, Dole.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone. Bye.